Your journey begins. The spiritual guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.
Hey, welcome to the BFM Studios, Tonchi and Araha.
Thank you for having us.
Turn that down. How are you?
Last one for the year.
Good.
Excited.
It's a sunny day outside. It finally feels like summer.
You've chosen the outdoor traveller's drink.
Oh,
as
yes.
Well.
Yep. For sure.
Gin.
Gin is one of my personal favourites.
Ooh, so we're going to talk a little bit about the history of gin, if you don't mind, from the very beginning.
That's good. Now, John doesn't really come into that.
Nah, not at all.
Sorry, mate. You've just become part of the history with that comment, though. Like, carrying forward, people will be like, I think Johnny likes that, actually, gin.
So gin, if you go right back, and it really actually dates back to a Dutch drink called Genever, which is a Dutch...
How do you spell that? With a G?
Like that says on there.
Genever.
But essentially it's the Dutch word for juniper. It was a almost like they made a single malt whiskey without aging it and then infused it with juniper.
Okay.
And then during, I think it was the mid 1700s, William III, who was one of the princes of Holland, ended up becoming King of England.
Wait a minute, the Prince of Holland became the King of England?
He married in well. Did a good job. He was William of Orange. And.
What? Yeah. You can't just be throwing these words out, Tom.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
William of Orange.
William of Orange.
And so, yeah, he invented orange and...
No, he was a prince in Holland, but he was also, I believe, a ruler in a part of Spain that was where oranges are from. Hence, he got...
The Dutch and the British were rife, man. Yeah. They were just cruising around, chucking steaks and crap. Anyway, we'll have that.
So yeah. He had a long-standing hate for the French, and when he took over England, he wasn't happy with the amount of French brandy that they're drinking. So essentially, he outlawed it through tax. So he didn't make it actually illegal to buy French brandy, but he made it really, really expensive. So it kind of moved away. But to make sure that the British population still had something to drink, because it's obviously quite important to keeping that nation running, he introduced a law where everyone was allowed to distill, and he introduced Genever.
That is an interesting law.
So,
does that law stand in this country? Can I distill if I want?
We don't have a prohibition on alcohol.
Just go nuts.
If you sell it, you need to tax it, and you have to be registered for that. But if you purchase it, producing it for yourself, it's sweet.
Mint.
All gravy. So he introduced the spirit, which was a it's pretty much a single malt whiskey that's been, as I say, infused with juniper.
Oh, wow.
They made it a lot. Leaner, more narrower, lighter, more fragrant in style in England, but they got to a point where they were drinking way too much of it.
Heaps of ginsky.
Yeah, like I mean,
the
early 1800s is known as the gin craze.
Because it's so you can make it fast. It's like a 2-week turnaround or something with gin. It's crazy. I've got a bathtub at my house.
Oh, shit. I can do that. They compare it to the 1980s crack epidemic.
Wow. Like
that's how bad it got in terms of the consumption levels of gin. It was bad quality gin and high alcohol and had a lot of methanol, so people were going blind. People were forgetting their children, hence sort of the name of Mother's Ruin. There's actually the story of a woman who abandoned her child in a cornfield so they could sell the baby's clothing to buy gin. And she, the baby was found, unfortunately, died, and then the mother was hung for her crime. So there's a lot of...
That's pretty rank, man.
Yeah, I know. But so gin has a pretty checkered past.
Yeah.
But it's sort of kind of... Yeah.
The baby of the field. And
sorry to bring it down like that, guys. Let's lift it back up. It's a sunny day.
It was probably sunny out there in the field.
So, pretty much essentially the word Genever means juniper, which leads to gin. Gin was essentially the fact that the British got so drunk they couldn't pronounce the word Genever, so they could gin.
That's British in a nutshell, really.
Basically, that's
English.
Literally where the word comes from. They were too intoxicated to say the real word. And it means that it has to have a predominant flavour of juniper. Now, the gin we know these days can have anywhere between sort of 5 to 35 different botanicals in there, but it has to have juniper in there as one of them.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, we've got three,
or
two gins and one Genever I've brought in with us today. So we're going to try the Genever first.
Old Simon. Old Simon.
This is... Genever, if you had it back like how it used to be, was a probably a drink that most people wouldn't really enjoy today. This is kind of a modern interpretation on that, so it's got that much more richer, oily spirit base on it, like a Genever would, but it's better made. It's got a bit of balance to it, a little bit of sugar to sort of balance it out. This one's got 14 botanicals, but it also includes hazelnuts and walnuts to give it a real roundedness and oiliness on the palate rather than just from the spirit.
Okay.
So we're going to try that neat cold to start with.
Just so everybody knows, the texture's just picked up that the past tense of hang is hanged. All right? Ooh. So just...
Sorry, so
when you get home,
hung.
Tell yourself off in your private. No, that's good. That was good. What I did was perfect. And now you.
It keeps going.
I just did it. It was perfect where I had it, and then you moved it again. It's terrible.
I've been thinking about it.
It's a nightmare that I fixed it, then you broke it right in front of me. Oh, there's gin going in the glass, everyone.
Sure. So you guys jump into those ones to start with. So in Holland, this is still a drink that they drink to these days.
What time of the day are we having this in Holland?
Lunch.
Okay.
With kippers.
Okay.
Or pickled fish, like herring.
Some cheese.
Would be their sort of their go-to.
Okay.
So have a jam of that.
It smells hot, you know what I mean?
It's still got that juniper berry sort of botanical note on that start nose. You can kind of get a hint of the nuttiness coming through.
Oh, it's quite soft on the palate, shall we say. It's not the bite. My nose was telling me I was going to get some kind of sidekick to the
This
face.
Has come straight from the freezer, so it's cold.
All right.
As soon as you said kippers, I was just like, I couldn't get fish out of my head. I was like, oh my God, it's going to taste like fish now.
Like, you're staring into a snowstorm for a bit. You're
I had to talk myself out of it. I was like, this is not going to taste like fish. No, and it doesn't. It's delicious.
No, you're more designed to have it with fish.
Right.
Not that it tastes like old pickled fish. Hopefully.
Yeah, it is. It's...
That just went straight down. It's absolutely, it's very easy to drink. It's
35%. Okay. It contributes to that. So it's quite approachable.
Mm-hmm. Does it? I guess, because the regular, like, everybody's pretty much accepting that everything's 40%. But rolling off a 5%. It's probably
difference.
It makes a big difference.
Mellows the palate out a little bit. Yeah. It doesn't need the alcohol for that weight for the palate because it's got that sort of oiliness coming through from the type of spirit, that single malt spirit.
Right.
But also the fact that it's got those nuts in there, the hazelnuts and the walnuts really add an oily texture to it.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's kind of our introduction to it. Now, I was going to riff on it. We could either try...
All gone.
Nice. We could either try the two gins that we're going to have straight first and try them as standalone gins, or we can just get straight into having them with tonic.
I've got a mix Odyssey, so I maybe just like a bit of tonic with my next gin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go down that route. That's it. We'll just go grab some.
Nice.
So we've got two gins that we're going to be rocking through. The first one is a New Zealand gin, previously known as Rogue Society.
Yeah, I remember that one. Okay.
They got into a bit of a legal stoush with Rogue Brewery over in America. Didn't win. Actually, they didn't fight. They're just actually just going to fuck up. We're going to change our name.
Not worth it.
And they became Scapegrace, which is essentially another word for rogue or vagabond. It's very old English, Scapegrace. So it's kind of stays in the same realm of what the name was meant to.
Just while you're on facts there, someone's just texted in, what in the juniper makes people lose their shit?
Are they asking about... Like, should make people cry? Or is it because that's kind of, I think, a fallacy in my mind. I think sad people drinking too much.
It's a weird rumor.
Rather than the gin itself doing it. People that are susceptible to it. But
they could be talking about bowel movements. I don't really know.
Is juniper also sometimes in mead?
Possibly. There's all sorts of stuff goes into mead. It is. I mean, juniper, when it first started off, its written records is as a medicinal beverage. So it was a, of all things, it was a tonic for kidney failure. Have some alcohol to cure your kidneys.
Chuck some butter on that fucking burn wound and get on with your day.
So it's got a lot of, I think, ancient sort of medicinal background to it that... Maybe that's. But I'm wondering if that person's also possibly confused with wormwood, which is.
Look, I'll be honest, mate. I think you're putting way too much weight into this text. A lot of texts come in, and they're pretty. This one.
I trust your listeners.
This is right on the borderline. It's got everything I like in it.
Now we'll jump into the Scapegrass.
Cute little bottles you got here as well. About seven. What millage are we talking in these little bottles?
200 mils, and the perfect size for your Christmas stockings, or per size. No.
Go to Glengarry.
Also, if you buy, we're going to be having these with East Imperial tonics. But if you buy the four pack, which are 150 ml bottles,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much get four pours in a four pack.
Right, good to know.
And you're just sorted for a party. You're not leaving a bottle of gin, it says
seven drinks on the back of the bottle. I'll have you know that. So those are four heavy-handed.
Come on.
Roll it. Okay.
You know me. We've been here before. Sweet. So, so the Scapegrace is saying it's a New Zealand-made gin. They buy in their new make spirit. So it's a grain-based spirit that they get at a very high octane. It would be up around 98% alcohol.
It's AB Smith.
At which stage they macerate the spirit in its botanicals.
Yeah, what was that?
This has 12 different botanicals, including juniper. The Scapegrace.
The Scapegrass, okay.
So it has 12 botanicals, being the juniper that's kind of always required. And then there's the three that are always stalwart beside the juniper. You've always got lemon peel and cardamom seeds. Yeah. And then sort of from there, they get riffs depending on what the gin is, what they're going to put in there. So there's things like orange peel, cinnamon.
I have newt.
Yeah, possibly. That'd be funky.
What tonic are we thinking?
Let's go for the
how much flavour comes from the tonic.
Yeah, so. You've got, I mean, the East Imperial stuff is like next level tonic. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's probably the champagne and tonic water, really, at the end of the day. So we're going to have the Scapegrace, first of all, with just the standard East Imperial tonic, which used to be known by the name Burma tonic.
And we're not going you're not going crazy with the pour either. It's just enough to cover the ice, which is about not even half of the glass.
50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gone too far.
You want the gin to still be there, chucking its hand up above the crowd, so to speak. I'm assuming.
We've also got quite a few gin and tonics to make, so
right on.
I don't want to pour you a full vessel and have you falling asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So the Scapegrace for me is a very citrus forward gin.
This is mint. It's so mint. It's great. You didn't put a lemon or anything in there. It's just all in the tonic, eh?
Yeah. I've gone for no garnishes because I couldn't be bothered bringing
it. It's perfect.
Like,
I don't think you need it. I don't know if you need it.
It's so clean. That is just clean as anything.
I think I'm losing weight.
I love it. I mean, if you were going to garnish it, this one I'd probably do with either a wedge or wheel of orange.
Yep. Because you don't want something too gnarly.
It's already got enough citrus there. The orange still has that citrus note, but it's a bit sweeter.
Orange will be good.
The other one you can do is grapefruit, but I think oranges are probably cheaper. You get just as good out of it.
We've talked about limes already.
Perhaps my thing with gin that I don't like sometimes is it can be a bit over the top, a bit too much tang, you know, whereas this is just like...
Is it the do you think that's coming from the gin or the tonic?
It's probably coming from a combination of the tonic and the citrus, you know, like it's just a bit too much, but this is like perfect.
Yeah, I mean, like you look at cheap tonic water, sort of the ones that everyone...
SodaStream.
Yeah, that one, or you know, like one of the brands you buy it pre-made.
Yeah.
That has more sugar in it than a Coca-Cola, like proper Coke.
Excuse me, what?
There's more sugar in it than Coca-Cola.
Wow.
So the...
What?
Yeah, so the bitterness...
Nothing beats Coke. Maybe Mountain Dew. Really?
Schweppes tonic water.
Wow.
The East Imperial range is all much lower in sugar, so... but with that, they've got a better balance with that quinine. The quinine's the bitter flavour inside tonic water. It was introduced to stave off malaria initially, so which is where the famous gin and tonic came from, was those raping and pillaging colonists.
Must be the saying, what ails you? That must be coming from there as well, sure. Like something like that. Because all these things like seem to stem from some kind of like doctor's prescribed situation. You know what I mean? It's like, what's going on?
Well, even like one of the most famous gin cocktails is a gimlet, which is essentially gin with lime. Mm. And that was done by the sailors when they were having their lime cordial
to
get rid of their scurvy. Mm. And they'd put it with their gin that they got as their daily ration, so... Yeah, good old gimlet. But so do we want to scale that one and we'll move on to the next?
Yeah, well, I'll drink it responsibly fast.
I mean, we've got two other tonics to try it with. Did you want to try this gin with the other tonics, or did you want to try the botanist with the same tonic and then we can try the other tonics?
I'm over to you, mate. I'm here. I'm actually reminded of when I drink gin the most is actually when I go to the casino.
Oh, really?
Whenever I go to the casino, I like to get a gin.
Does it just remind you of the sun because there's no sun at all inside a casino?
I don't know why I do it.
It's always sometime at the casino.
I don't know why I do it.
Every time you walked in, it doesn't change.
I'm not stopping doing it now, though. You know what I mean? I don't want to ruin my luck. I think I'm up at the casino. I won like $70 on the slot machine.
I'm down 100.
My mum gave me like $2 one time, and then I haven't been back since, so I'm like up for this. So like, they're probably trying to get me.
We pretty much have our family reunions at the casino. Every time I go, I find like three or four of my cousins.
They're here for the casino, man.
See, I don't want to give you my life story, but I've been three times. down 200, up 200, down 100. So I'm out.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, you know the best thing about the casino, but also the worst, is the fact that there's like a Gold Rush pawn shop right across, right opposite it, and what's in there is basically rings and shit. It's not good, man. It's not good.
Sweet. So we're now gonna have the Botanist, which is a Scottish gin. So it's made by the distillery Brooklady, which is a whiskey distillery on the island of Islay. And they make a gin that's got 9 botanicals that are found in most sort of gins, the standard botanicals. And then they've got 22 that have been hand foraged off the island, which if you pick up a bottle, you can
that
see.
That word again. Foraged.
Foraged.
Hand foraged.
Yeah. Ethically and sustainably.
You can't forage without hands, can you?
I don't know. You can do it with your feet.
I suppose a kiwi is like totally foraging.
Grapefruit tonic smells that delicious.
Oh
amazing.
My god. How is it so clear but so tasty? Yeah. Botanicals. I can smell it in this, mate. It's in that same drink that we're drinking. You maniac.
Well done. You want to talk about this one?
I love this gin. It's probably top two. Actually, my favourite gin is Scapegrace, hands down, and then Botanist comes in second.
How gin are you? I don't know, is this your drink?
I'm not very gin.
You're not very gin?
No, I'm not very gin at all. But if I was to gin, I would gin these two right here.
What about, let's get back to Ginski. Can I get my hands on some Ginski? Is that still a thing? Like, when you were talking about the story with the gin when the whiskey mixed?
I think you can make
I named
thing.
It Gins, Ginski, Ginski, and now, just to catch you up, what's going on? Is that a thing?
Like, what are you on about?
Was I listening wrong?
I was like, in my mind, I'm like, is it like a jet ski? Is it similar to that? Nope.
You have enough of it, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, this is interesting. It's a little bit more adult.
Yeah, the Botanist is probably one of the more subtle, more sort
quite
of
elegant.
Laid back.
Yeah,
elegant. It's a really good way to describe
with
this.
Your mind on your money and your money on your mind.
Probably one of the best, yeah, great. One of the best balanced gins in the market, especially considering you've got 31 different botanicals in there. Considering the fact none of them are produced like in a farming or agricultural sense, they're all forage, so you've got botanicals that are from season to season changing their components, you know, how much essential oils, etc., they have in their breakup, so they're constantly having to work on their blend, but they always get it bang on. And the other thing is they've got quite an interesting still, they call it Ugly Betty, and it's a sort of they made I think 4 or 5 of them Lomond stills, and they were designed to be a way to try and make a column still whiskey which produces that continuous style spirit, which is a lot leaner in floral style, and a pot still, which is batch still, which takes a lot longer to produce the same amount of spirit but produces a much heavier, more flavoursome spirit. They were trying to get the best of both worlds by having a still that would produce continuously with more flavour,
right?
And ended up with this sort of abomination that never really worked, but then these guys managed to sort of play around with it and turn it into a gin specific still, so now that's all it does is just makes the Botanist.
Okay.
I believe it's one of the last remaining ones out of the 5 that were built at the time. So I believe that we had that one with the East Imperial Grapefruit Tonic. So we've got a tonic that's based off their Old World Tonic, which is their sort of, was the one that East Imperial launched on, which is one that's got it's got a decent level of quinine, but it's got probably the lowest level of sugar in the tonic market. And then they released the one that we had, the first one, which was the Burma Tonic, to kind of be more like what people expect the tonic to be like, that more Schweppes kind of style. Tonic water, and then we've now had the grapefruit, which is essentially the Old World that's been flavoured with fresh grapefruit juice. Sure. So it's just got a squeeze of it in there. It's one that, to be honest, I could drink that by itself as a soda. It's awesome.
Totally.
It's not too over the top. That's this. You know, you're getting the best of the grapefruit flavouring from that. You know, like very, very, very mellow, but so tasty.
Well, it's got like a little sort of like a salinity to it, like a slightly salty kind of character too, which I think makes it a little bit more Moorish in my mind.
Very much so.
Sweet. And then the last one we're going to have is that we've got a yuzu tonic, so we can try, up to you guys if you want to try that with either the Escape Grace or the...
we might actually just cross to the headlines and come straight back.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, should we do that?
Oh. Just a traffic time too.
Yeah, there'll be a little traffic update. People will be in traffic.
We can taste the yuzu backstage.
Yeah, maybe we could maybe do that. It has been a minute.
Okay.
People are probably driving, might want a song.
All right. Hey, well, should we wrap things up there?
Yeah.
No problem.
So everyone can grab this from Glengarry, of course.
Yes, certainly.
Tonchi and Aroha, if you were going to pick, so you're ultimately picking the Botanist or Scape Grace?
Botanist, hands down.
Yeah, Botanist, to be honest. Okay. The Scape Grace is awesome. Yeah. But
I love Scape Grace. If it was a Goldilocks Scape Grace, then...
Oh. Yeah. The Botanist, for me, is one that I find a bit more versatile. I'd rather have that for like being able to make cocktails and stuff with.
What's the damage are we talking here?
So the Botanist is $79.99 for 700 mils.
Right on.
And then exact same for Scape Grace.
Cool.
And that's a platinum, yeah.
Summer drops, but,
yeah,
summer
the Scape Grace Gold, just there, which is their Navy Strength, just won best London Dry gin in the world, so it's hard to not say that one.
Okay. All right, guys, hey.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. In 2018 for the Spiritual Guide, and have a Merry Christmas. Everyone can pick up some stuff from Glengarry for Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Carry on your way. That was the Spiritual Guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.